I'm escaping to the one place that hasn't been corrupted by capitalism. Space!
Pick a window.
The Left Show is not intended for youngsters. It's not intended for the sensitive. It's certainly not intended for right-wingers. Use your own discretion. Awful swearing.
You know who the best-looking person sitting up there was? Who was it with the cowboy hat?
No, J.M. Bell.
J.M. Bell. Mm-hmm. I don't know who that is.
He hosts a podcast.
Well, he was good-looking.
You pompous, stuck-up, snot-nosed, giant, twerp, scumbag, fuck-face, dickhead, asshole!
Gentlemen, this is Democracy Manifest.
For what reason? What is the charge? Eating a meal? A succulent Chinese meal?
You are listening to the world's greatest political podcast, The Left Show. Joining me this week, John Carter.
Welcome to the Resistance.
And Tiffany Steck Bell.
Smash the patriarchy.
Smash it. Hi, guys.
Howdy.
Weird week in political news.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to get into that. I'd say right at the top of the show, I think that the most important topic facing America today is Peacock and NBC shitting the bed on Premier League soccer coverage. No? Not so much?
No. I mean, maybe a little bit.
They had four fucking games. There's like 32 teams, so there's 16 possible games that could be played over the weekend. They had four. And only two of them are available for replay, and only one of them is a team I even give a shit about. Everything else got moved to cable. And so as I bitch about it, I have people coming to me online saying, oh, well, you should just get cable, or you should just pay $80 a month to YouTube for their weird TV thing, or
yeah,
you should pay $60 a month to Sling for their weird TV thing, etc.
We're all made of money. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like, you know, I don't have cable because I can't afford cable. I cut the cord due to economic necessity.
you were one of the last to ever cut a cord there.
Honestly, that was just for access to certain channels that I wanted, you know.
You can relate to this so well. Women in any women's sports there is that never get coverage. I love to.
Well, the irony is that
more games.
Premier League football, tons of coverage in the UK, but then getting it over here is a pain in the ass. Same problem. But women's Premier League football, very little coverage. Same thing. Very little coverage.
Honestly, I get all of the Champions League women's games on Paramount Plus, which I have to get rid of soon because they canceled Star Trek Academy and, they're run by a dipshit.
Yep.
An utter dipshit.
Yeah. Speaking of run by a dipshit, John Oliver devoted most of his show to Sean Duffy's Great American Road Trip reality show that he made on taxpayer dollars.
Yeah.
And he one of the things he pointed out, he says, you know, he put it up on YouTube, not that it has many views, and he showed, like, little images of each episode and how many views it had. There was one that had, like, 20,000 views, and I'm like, all right, Left Show listeners, we put this on YouTube, and I would like to get more reviews of this episode than Sean Duffy's Great American Road Trip. So please, head on over to YouTube, find the Left Show on YouTube, watch it with the sound off if you have to. But just run it. Run it in the background so that we get more views than Sean Duffy. Please, please help us out. Make sure we get more views than Sean Duffy.
I hope you aren't investing a lot into the emotional reaction of that not happening. Look, I love our listeners.
I'm just trying to drag people over. If I'm going to have to be on video, I want to drag people over to watch me on YouTube.
I'm with you. If I got to edit this shit every week, then I absolutely would like some eyeballs on. Our shorter pieces that I put on YouTube are doing okay. You know, but the longer form is not working to the point that when Nathan Fillion and Alan Tudyk launched their podcast, Once We Were Spacemen, it was just the podcast with a static picture. It wasn't video. It wasn't all that. It wasn't high production value. It wasn't all that. And I'm like, well, fuck, I can do that way easier than what I do now. But I'm not gonna. I'm gonna stick with it. I'm gonna give it 6 months. Excuse me. I got the hiccups. That's unfortunate. And yeah, I'm gonna give it 6 months and just see kind of where we end up with it. And if I really want to keep editing the video, because it is a time suck, the full episodes.
Yep.
I bet.
So
there's a Scottish YouTuber I've followed for years, and his long forms are gone. It's all the short videos.
Yep.
You know, the in-camera or the in-phone camera style short videos that are all over YouTube, all over social media. And it's like, yeah, I think I agree with you. TikTok and Reels and everything is what people are watching. But the problem is getting that. YouTube monetizes it easily. You simply hit monetization, and when you get a certain number of viewers, they cut you a check for the advertising they throw on there.
A dollar.
But if they don't, but you know, I don't know about Reels and TikTok getting you monetized as easily. So.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the threshold for payouts on YouTube are so insanely high that, you know, I can't take seriously the thinking about monetizing it at this point. I'm not sure about the other ones. You know, TikTok, we're doing relatively well. We're getting hundreds of views per video, and that makes me happy. Mm-hmm. You know, a little bit less on Instagram. However, Facebook seems to be the most popular place to call me the hard R, threaten my life. You know,
that tracks.
Call me names. Yeah, it Facebook. Facebook Reels is nuts, but
it'd only be worse if you put it up on Twitter. Yeah,
which I'm not gonna do.
No,
fuck a bunch of
Twitter. I just think, you know, Duffy's little reality show episodes probably ran 30 to 40 minutes a piece, and if he can get 20,000 views, come on, guys, you got more attention span than fucking MAGA, who's gonna watch Sean Duffy shit. Get on there. Take a look. Watch us on here, you know?
Yeah. So, Hakeem Jeffries, not my favorite politician.
No.
I think feckless, spineless, and utterly ineffective as the minority leader.
And that's when he's doing a great job in the Senate. Yep.
So he got together this week, and this caused some personal problems, but he got together this week with Jared Kushner to talk about how everybody can just get along better with the White House. Now, I, of course, being, well, you know, drunk on my own product, am recalling, I don't know, shades of Neville Chamberlain.
Yeah.
In this one, where he invited the Nazis over to say, can't we all just get along? And the Nazis are like, sure, wink, wink, we'll get along, wink, wink, and then went and invaded fucking Poland and started bombing the shit out of England. That's what this feels like. We are faced with an authoritarian fascist regime right now sitting in the White House, right? Sitting at the top of every fucking institution that we have. We have people that just want to make money off the government and murder it at the same time. And here's Jeffries having a meeting with Jared fucking Kushner, who has been bought and paid for with Saudi blood money. You know, hey, how are we going to get along better with the insane person that is currently inhabiting the fucking White House? It's not a thing. Now, this, of course, popped up to the fact that Jeffries has taken a shit ton of AIPAC money. And there are two schools of thoughts on AIPAC. The first is that it's an important lobbying institution in the United States of America that works on anti-Semitism issues, and that is true. It is true. I don't do that. It is also the lobbying arm of a radical right-wing government that is hell-bent on illegal expansion, genocide, and, you know, other bad behaviors like blowing up hospitals twice, once to get the people in the hospital and once to get the emergency workers, you know, that go do it. Mm-hmm. So not only did I get called the hard R, not only did, and I talk about this with Braxton a little bit on Gen Zex this week, I got called the F slur, which I do not understand in this case.
In this context, yeah.
I'm like, wait, what? Are you a lefty calling me that? Or are you a righty calling me that? And in either case, why?
Why are you calling me that?
I mean, I don't take it as an insult. I just don't care for the slur.
No. Right.
You know, I'm not insulted by that. I'm not insulted by getting called the hard R. I don't care. It's no, I'm not that happy. So
I was scratching my head at the anti-Semitic one. I was like, when did Hakeem Jeffries convert to Judaism? That's what I want to know.
Which was a very funny line and actually set off a private argument.
Oh, good.
Yeah. So, like, why are you letting these people be all anti-Semitic on your page? And I was like, I don't see anti-Semitism here right now. We're just taking a shit on a lobbying firm. Look, once upon a time, we had a guy, a union guy, that was on this network that did a little show that I really, really liked, and I was very, very fond of him. Brian, right?
Right.
And I can't for the life of me remember the name of the bill that came out, but it was an anti-piracy bill. And from his point of view, and I understood his point of view, an anti-piracy bill is a good thing for people that, I don't know, happen to be one of the representatives of the Yahtzee. But it was a bad bill. It was a poison bill. It had one paragraph of what he wanted and 100 paragraphs of garbage. And so we, taking a long look at it, were like, nope, bad bill. Good idea, bad bill. And, I mean, he lit me up and just tore me down, called me names, everything. He's like, it's the first anti-piracy bill and yada, yada, yada. And I'm like, great. Write a good bill.
Right.
Don't get your one paragraph instead of your 100 paragraphs. Give me something good.
It was the same problem we had with the ACA. Everything was great, but they filled it with pork.
Yep.
You know, it went from a, what was it, 20-page or 80-page document to over 200 pages of just them filling it up with nonsense. Yeah.
Including Orrin Hatch's, let's wait a few years before we do the...
Yeah. Let's wait until we've gotten Obama out of office so that we can take away, you know, pre-existing conditions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oops, got reelected. What are you going to do?
Yep.
So while all this is going on, Trump decided to have a pissing match with Canada again and raised tariffs there.
Mm-hmm.
Up to 50% on a whole bunch of different, on billions of dollars worth of goods. And so Canada has unveiled retaliatory tariffs and a billboard, but the tariffs are worth about $20 billion of U.S. goods. We're already not selling anything up there. People have just stopped buying our booze. And look, frankly, we make really good bourbon.
Yeah.
You know, American bourbon is the bourbon.
Well, we invented it.
Yeah.
We're very good at that.
We invent good
things. If there's one thing Kentucky's good at, it's making bourbon. The rest, not so much. But bourbon, they make it very well, yes.
Yeah. So, you know, Canada's that. And then today, this morning, or I guess maybe yesterday, they unveiled a big billboard, because that works, saying, Lake Ontario always has been, always will be. Oh! Oh! Eh? Hey there, Canada. Whoa. That's a pretty effective billboard you got there, eh?
That's Canada's strongly worded letter.
Yeah. That's Canada's. It is. It really is.
Well, it was in English and French.
The irony about him changing Lake Ontario, the name of Lake Ontario, is like a quarter of it sits in U.S. territory. Actually, less than a quarter of it sits in U.S. territory. The rest is in Canadian territory. They get to name it, dumb fuck. We get to rent it. That's all there is to it. Yeah.
I don't want to gloss over this one, but there's a lot not in the article.
Mm-hmm.
But basically, a woman on a naval ship was raped by the captain of the naval ship. She was told when she pushed it up her chain of command to keep quiet about it. It'll just cause problems. And she's like, fuck it. I'll cause problems.
Mm-hmm.
So she pushes it through the chain of command, through the military justice system, into the regular justice system, at which point a judge went, this is not a rape case, this is a workman's comp case, and dismissed it out of hand.
What?
I'm sorry, what?
Yes, because she was working on the ship, and apparently it's a work-related accident that she was raped by the captain of the naval transport.
So to this judge, that'd be the same as if you were working in an office building and your CEO raped you? I mean, that's the same bullshit that he's trying to put forward? Jesus fucking Christ.
Yeah, file a claim. Yep.
I'd like to file a lawsuit against the judge.
Yeah, Elise Dominguez filed the lawsuit against the United States, alleging that the Navy failed to protect her from sexual assault while she worked as an engineer aboard a transport vessel in the service's military sealift command. She's a lieutenant commander in the Navy Reserve. It's disgusting. It is. I got nothing. I want to rant and rail and pound the sides of my skull about this poor woman and the bullshit that she just got handed to her on a silver fucking platter. And yet I'm so close to speechless at just the insane judicial ruling and the precedent that this will set for other women that are going through much the same problem in the United States military. You know, this
is... The argument is those are injuries that happen in the course of performing your duties on a ship.
Yeah.
You can just expect to get raped because you're performing your duties on a ship. That's all. You just... Why wouldn't you expect to get raped because you're working on a ship? It's not like she's got her fingers caught in equipment that she was working on. It's not like she got burned by something that she accidentally touched. That's where you file workman's comp. Fucking rape? That doesn't just fucking happen, you asshole.
I can't even imagine the sexual harassment that goes on that ship.
It's bad.
It has to be that bad. If you can rape a woman and call it workman's comp.
My niece was a helicopter mechanic for the Navy, and she was very good. Her commanding officer and all of her team wanted her to re-up over constantly, begging her to re-up because she was so good at what she did. She wanted out because she was sick of all the sexual harassment. And it didn't matter what boat she got on. It didn't matter that when she was stationed in Guam, she was constantly harassed, and it drove her crazy.
Oh, it's fucked up. It is super fucked up.
And it's just going to get worse.
Yeah. Yeah, until Keg's breath is gone.
Yeah. Yep. Oh, we're getting there. He's giving them testosterone injections. Can you imagine what the sexual harassment is when they're hopped up on even more testosterone than when they were 18?
And permission. Yeah. It's permission.
Yeah, and they got full permission to be complete rapey jerks, apparently. Apparently, it's workman's comp.
It's fucked. It's absolutely fucked. Mm-hmm. So the head of the CIA jumped on a plane and went to Moscow for high-level talks with the Kremlin without telling anybody.
Yep.
Yep. John Radcliffe. Oh, of course you pop up your subscription rate page when I'm right there. But yeah, John Radcliffe went to Moscow and nobody said boo. And a few reporters have asked about it, and they've been told that it's much ado about nothing. But the head of the CIA is in Moscow. I'll bet you Zelensky's really worried and unhappy right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it turned out he went there to beg them not to bomb us all. But
well, we'll see how that works out.
That'll go well with Putin and all that. But yeah.
All right, let's take a quick break when we get back on the other side. Look, here's the thing and other news.
What are we doing today?
That is an important question.
So this is the part where we ask for money?
This is the part where we ask for money.
I hate this part.
I hate it too. You know, if we had billionaire funding, we wouldn't have to do this.
But independent media matters, and it only works if people fund it. Where's George Soros when you need him?
If you support independent media, like The Left Show, we'll keep doing the work. No corporate sponsors, no censorship.
All the cool kids are doing it.
Pop over to theleftshow.com and make a statement about how you won't be led astray by bought and paid for media. With your donation today, theleftshow.com. What if there was one place where comic book fans could get everything? News, reviews, debates, and deep dives every single week.
And not just we read one issue and Googled the rest kind of takes. We're talking 15 years deep, over 600 episodes.
That's right. The world's greatest comic book podcast has been breaking down Marvel, DC, indie books, movies, and fandom culture long before it was cool.
Whether you're a lifelong collector,
a casual fan who just saw the latest superhero movie,
or someone trying to figure out where to even start,
we have got you covered.
And we don't always agree, which makes it way more fun.
Yeah, way more fun.
New episodes every Tuesday.
Real opinions, real conversations.
Zero gatekeeping.
Check out the world's greatest comic book podcast at thecomicbookpodcast.com.
Hey kids, comics!
Okay, I don't want to talk about Sophie Cunningham, but I do want to talk about the one with the braids, whose name I forgot again.
Cameron Brink.
Yes. Hero. She probably did well this weekend in her games, yes?
She did.
Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, she came out and had some really nice things to say about trans people and some just veiled derogatory for those that don't. And I really liked that. But you're getting kicked around threads right now because of something you said about Sophie Cunningham.
Yeah, I made a comment that she scored 1 point the other night.
Mm. And how many transgender women was she playing against?
Zero.
Oh.
So she's flexing on that one. Yeah, but it's just women empower women, you know? Yeah.
Whatever.
I mean, it is what it is. And of course you're getting flamed by dudes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Of course it's all men. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because it's
not all men, but always men. Right?
Yeah. There are a lot of, there are a lot of players like speaking out about it, about the issue. And Natasha Cloud, she plays for the Sky as one. She was the one who had that encounter with
what's Frieda. His name?
Cantor. Enos Cantor Freedom or something? Mm-hmm. Who cares?
Yeah.
But yeah, she was the one who had that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, and it's just, yeah, there's a lot of people saying good things, and then there's a few louder people saying bad things, and it's just turning into a thing. But what I want to do is turn this into a thing. It's time for Look, Here's the Thing. Somewhere between the panic the hot takes, and a Russian bot with three followers, there are the facts. Reality is sitting quietly in the corner, waiting for someone, anyone, to ask a follow-up question. That's what we're here for. It's time for Look. Here's the thing.
All right, here's the thing. Axios recently said in an article that there seems to be three things that have brought us together as a nation. It's our hatred of flock cameras, our hatred of data centers, and the death of Dolly Parton. But I'm going to have to gatekeep. Sorry, guys. I got to gatekeep. Dolly doesn't get to be mourned by one group in particular, and that's Turning Point USA. They put a little thing up on their Twitter feed or their Threads feed or something, you know, talking about the triumph of Dolly Parton. I'm like, no, you don't get to have her.
No.
You don't. And the reason is because you stand in complete opposition of who Dolly Parton was and what she stood for. So, no, if you're in the TPUSA cult, you don't get to mourn Dolly with the rest of us. I'm sorry. And I'm going to give you three reasons. First of all, the guy who funded Turning Point USA, the wealthy guy, he was anti-vax. He was extremely anti-vax. And he died from COVID after the COVID vaccine was available to everybody. Right? So he's a dumbass and a piece of shit. Dolly, little Dolly Parton from Rocky Top, Tennessee, she funded entirely the Moderna vaccine. That's right, the vaccine we all got here in Utah, that was our major vaccine that we got when the vaccines came out. We got the Dolly vaccine. There you go. I will always love you, Dolly. Thank you for that one. But yeah, we all got the Dolly vaccine. No, you don't get to have that when the guy who funded you is anti-vax. No, fuck you. You don't get to have Dolly. Second, Dolly helped everyone. She didn't look at someone's race, financial situation, or sexual orientation as a reason to turn them away. She made everyone her equal. She cheered when Whitney Houston got all the accolades for singing her song. I Will Always Love You was her song. Dolly was the first one to do it. But she said, you know, I sold the number of records it sold. I couldn't even feed my chickens with that money. So I always thought some better singer was going to make that song better. And I'm glad Whitney Houston was the one. Meanwhile, Turning Point USA, you got Charlie Kirk saying, well, if I'm ever on an airline, if I see a black pilot, I'm going to wonder if he's qualified. Yeah, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's no. No, you don't get to have it. No. And then and third and finally, Dolly exemplified Christianity, something y'all claim you are in all this Turning Point shit. You claim you're great Christians. She chose to lift others up rather than tear them down. Can you say you do that? She chose to accept everyone rather than reject people for who they were. Can you say you do that? She chose to love and said the judgment was only for God to give. Can you say that? So no, Turning Point, you don't get Dolly Parton. And that's my two cents.
That's pretty solid right there.
Good. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, Turning Point.
Yeah. Well, let me change the speed a little bit and start out with, look, here's the thing. Can I afford to be alive? This shouldn't be a political question, but in America in 2026, apparently it is, because you can tell me the economy's doing great. You can tell me inflation's coming down. You can tell me that we're entering some sort of a fabled golden age. But then you go to the grocery store and you fill up the car. You mm-hmm. look at the rent, or you look at your mortgage. You look at the electricity bill and you have to think, what the fuck happened? Because... Yeah. This isn't an economic theory to most Americans. It's fucking Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And so here's where I want to take a little trip down memory lane. And we'll start with Ronald Reagan, the great salesman of American conservatism. Lower taxes, less government. Let the money flow downward. And everybody gets richer with his trickle-down economics.
Trickle-down.
The theory was basically you give... more money to the rich people at the top, and eventually some of it will drip down onto everybody else. And 40 years later, you know, we can see that the trickle got stuck somewhere in first class. Reagan's administration saw federal debt explode from about 1 trillion to nearly 2.7 trillion. Boy, remember when it was that small? And
yeah,
that's the part that is so conveniently forgotten, is Republicans love to talk about fiscal responsibility when Democrats are spending money, but when Republicans are in charge, suddenly deficits are investments, tax cuts will pay for themselves, military spending will pay for itself, corporate tax cuts will create jobs, and somehow the bill is always going to arrive later, usually when someone else is president. Bill Clinton left office with a federal budget surplus. W followed that with huge tax cuts, two wars, and a massive increase in federal debt. Obama inherited the Great Recession and spent years trying to stabilize an economy that was already on fire, and Trump added trillions to the debt during his first term. Biden inherits that mess, dealing with a pandemic economy, supply chain chaos, inflation, and the consequences of all these earlier decisions. And it was in the midst of cleaning them up, and now here we are again. Same movie, different sequel, except this time there's a war with Iran. And so if you're wondering what a war halfway around the world has to do with your grocery bill, let me introduce you to the gas pump. The Iran war has disrupted energy markets, pushed gasoline prices sharply higher. Gasoline's up 34% since Trump began his second term. That's according to PolitiFact's review of current data. And Trump has literally told Americans to prepare for higher fuel prices because of the war. And that's the thing about war. It doesn't stay over there. It comes home in the price of gasoline, shipping, food, everything that has to move from one place to another. And meanwhile, we're being told to look over here. Looky, looky, Lake America. Seriously. We have people struggling to afford groceries and housing. A six-month war with Iran. Gasoline prices are way up. The national debt has now crossed $40 trillion. By the way, who the fuck is lending us money? And someone decided that the most urgent national security priority was renaming Lake Ontario, a body of water that has been called Lake Ontario for more than 400 years. Trump signed an executive order renaming it Lake America, and Google Maps fucking rolled over and adopted the name for U.S. users. It's a distraction from the distraction from the distraction, because somewhere behind all of that is the Epstein files. And I don't know about you, but when Washington suddenly wants me to argue about what we're calling a lake while I'm trying to figure out how the fuck to pay for groceries... You know, that's the trick. You keep us arguing about the shiny objects. You keep us fighting about the culture war, outrage of the day. You keep us angry about whatever somebody posted on fucking Twitter or Truth Social. Meanwhile, the actual question sitting at millions of kitchen tables is much simpler. Can I afford to be alive? Because that's the question politicians have to answer. Not whether the lake has the right fucking name. Not whether some billionaire got another fucking tax break. Not whether we're winning some imaginary culture war. Can I afford groceries? No. Can I afford rent? No. Can I afford a house? No. Can I afford to fill my gas tank? No. Can I afford to take my kids to the doctor? No. Can I afford to retire? No. No, 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 and no. There's a dirty little secret in American politics, and that's that people don't live in the GDP. We don't eat stock market gains. We don't pay our mortgage with favorable jobs reports. We live in a real economy, and the real economy is the space between the money that you bring in and your bills. And right now, for a whole hell of a lot of Americans, that space is getting smaller. So you're going to have to fucking forgive me if I'm not particularly invested in whether we're calling it Lake Ontario or Lake America, because I can't afford fucking food. And apparently that's become a radical position. Can I afford to be alive? That's the question that Republican politicians are going to have to answer in November.
Done.
Yep.
Yeah.
I think I was more than 3 minutes. I apologize.
Might have been. But, I mean, trickle-down economics started back in the Great Depression when the Republican Party at the time said, well, let's just give all the money to the wealthy and they'll they'll create more jobs because the wealthy were coming to them because they had access. And they're like, we'll create more jobs if you give us money. And then they just kept the money.
Yeah.
Hoovervilles increased across the country. These were people who couldn't afford to live in their homes or their apartments anymore, set up tents in the city parks and called them Hoovervilles after President Hoover, Herbert Hoover. And it wasn't until we had the political reforms that we got with the New Deal and everything that followed that, that got us, you know, made labor the important thing and not investment.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until Ronald Reagan basically just flipped the switch and switched it over to investments. Investors made all the money and the workers suddenly saw a huge dip. The national debt is based on, this is how much money we're going to spend this year. That's the debt. That means they have to bring that much money in tariffs, in taxes, in all that stuff. And the question is, can they bring in $2 point or $3 point or $4 point trillion, you know? Can they do that? I don't think they can.
No.
And if they, you know, and it comes down to it, it's like when these things happen, Trump chickens out every single time because he watches his stock portfolio dip and he immediately changes course, just like any investor does. Why is 20% of the world's oil costing us so much here in the United States?
Yeah.
It's only 20% of the world's oil. And it's only 20% of the oil we take in. Why is it costing us so much? Because a bunch of investors from Enron, remember Enron? They went to Congress back in 2000 and said, hey, we want to do over-the-counter trading with oil shares. Oh, you can't do that. We don't allow that. Well, write a law that does. And they said, okay, let's do that for you.
Yeah.
And they took away the teeth from the Commodities and Exchange Commission and... From that point on, we've watched as any fluctuation in the market jacks prices beyond what's affordable for Americans.
Huh.
We need a complete reform. We need a New Deal level reform in this country again. We need a revolution.
Something big.
And it's got to happen. And that revolution can happen quietly through voting, or we got to take to the streets.
It's time to light some shit on fire.
Yep.
Free Luigi.
Mm-hmm.
Covering just some news here to close out the segment. Sandy, Utah, a conservative bastion of which one part of its township is called, and I'm serious, White City.
Yep.
Sandy has pulled Callaway Golf merchandise from the City Golf Course Pro Shop following a very misogynistic pro-violence against women ad put out by Callaway Golf. They announced on Friday that all merchandise from Callaway, and this is one of the sport's biggest equipment manufacturers, are totally going to be removed from the River Oaks Golf Course. And I saw an interview with the mayor who's like, nope, absolutely not. This is not how you behave. That's not funny. I don't enjoy your ad. You know,
I cannot remember of Sandy. Oh, is it Zelensky or Monica?
Zoltansky.
With the red hat.
Yeah, Monica Zoltansky.
Right? Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
And this wasn't just Sandy that did this. It used to be, at one point, the best place to find Callaway equipment at a great price was Costco.
Mm.
They dumped them because of this. They're not going to carry Callaway anymore. Costco.
Good guy Costco.
Yep.
Good guy Costco. Mm-hmm. What else we got? I can skip that one because we've talked about it like 10 times now.
Yeah, like Ontario.
South Carolina Republicans nominated Darlene Graham for Senate. I wonder what her weird sex thing is.
Yeah.
You know? It probably runs in the family. Right?
Mm-hmm.
But it's Lindsey Graham's younger sister. Never shown an interest in public office until DJT talked her into running for Senate after Lindsey died. And so here she is. And I don't know if you guys caught any of the stuff on on the debate they had right before the primary. She's an idiot. She's an idiot.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying that because she's a Republican and I got a thing about Republicans because I'm usually happy to bitch about that. No, she's just straight up fucking dumb. She's exactly what you think of when you hear of South Carolina Republican. She's ignorant as shit about anything other than to do with the culture war. But in the culture war, she is deeply steeped. It's disgusting. It is.
Who is that? Who is that UK prime minister who she didn't last longer than a head of lettuce? Try to remember her name.
Oh, what the fuck was her name?
But in my opinion, Darlene Graham makes her look competent. Yeah, that's who we're South Carolina voted and made her. They followed suit. They obeyed Trump and made her the Republican nominee.
Liz Truss.
Liz Truss. Yes, Liz Truss.
At least she sounded smart with her little fucking accent.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. You can get up in a British accent and say all sorts of dipshit, and it sounds okay.
Darlene Graham makes her look competent. Makes her look like a wise, sound choice, in my opinion.
Indeed.
This is just the worst MAGA choice you can make. Yeah. But if you want to destroy the U.S. government and hand power to a single leader, this is the way you do it.
Yeah, with idiots.
Mm-hmm.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll be back on the other side. The rest of the news. Hey, folks, Jeff here. So you want to start a podcast? Maybe you already did and it's just not going the way you thought it would. Well, here's the truth. It's not about the mic. It's not about the software. And it's definitely not just about posting episodes. It's about building a show that people care about. That's why I created the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy. It isn't theory and it isn't fluff. It's a step-by-step breakdown of what actually works. Choosing a name, choosing a topic, building your structure, growing an audience, trying to turn your podcast into a brand, and maybe even a business. If you're serious about podcasting, this is a good place to start. And if you're just tired of guessing, this is how you stop. Check out the Defenestrate Media Podcast Academy and build something worth listening to. You can find more information at theleftshow.com.
In a world where MAGA is banning and burning books, it is a revolutionary act to read. It's Monday in America is a bold collection from The Left Show's J.M. Bell about politics, family, aging, and the uncomfortable truths we keep avoiding. No talking points, just real life in a divided country. Order your copy of It's Monday in America today for just $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. If you're looking to feel hopeful or inspired, or if you're just frustrated and unsure about where we're headed, this book provides a unique look at the life of a Gen X liberal, the challenges and victories, and the question, what kind of world have we built for our children? It's Monday in America. $14.99 at MondayInAmerica.com. It's Monday in America. Better to die on your feet than live on your knees.
Some reason you are still listening to The Left Show. All right, then, here's some more of that, I suppose.
This is the first time, I think, on this show where we've run up against the free articles remaining for the month from Stars and Stripes. But it just popped up and it's like, dude, you got three frees left. I'm like, you know what? I think I'm going to be fine, Stars and Stripes.
Yeah, I think we're good.
Don't get me wrong. Stars and Stripes is actually a very interesting read. I've gone back and hit their archives on a couple of projects several times in my life, and it is a great place for information. It hasn't really been completely subverted by the Trump administration yet, but... You know, what we're going to talk about now is the fact that military facilities across the world are almost $300 billion behind in maintenance and repairs. It's the Pentagon practice of not requesting enough money from Congress to fully maintain its facilities, posing a risk to military missions and the living conditions of personnel. Government Accountability Office also found that the Defense Department does not have enough workers to address the backlog and does not consistently track work orders, which could help prioritize repair needs. It is the same class war we're having out here in civilian life. There is, how do I put this succinctly? The enlisted grunts get fucked over. Mm-hmm. That's us in this metaphor. You know, while the officer guys seem to be doing better, because you'll notice when we were looking at pictures of the food coming out of the Abraham Lincoln, that was enlisted food.
Yep.
We weren't seeing a lot of pictures coming out of the officer's mess, were we?
Right.
Because the officer's mess is getting fed just fine.
You know, the CO's office is always air conditioned and it's fine.
Yep.
There's no leaks.
Yep.
You know, any leaks, anything like that is going to be fixed immediately. Anything that the enlisted personnel have to work in, that can wait.
Yep.
Embrace the suck, guys. Yeah.
Maybe it's time we sell off a couple of bases. The Defense Department's real estate portfolio includes more than 736,000 facilities across the globe, valued at $2.6 trillion. You know, how much do we need in Guam? Right? Can't we go maybe halvesies on Guam? Sell off some of the base there and then fix what's left. You see, I mean, how many bases do we need in England?
England is the one I thought about. Britain, Germany. We have so many bases still in Germany because of the whole East Germany, West Germany thing, and that's done. Why do we still have those bases?
Well, until Putin has his heart attack, I'm going to go ahead and say that the German ones are fine for now.
Yeah.
You know? That's all. Do we have any in Portugal? Probably. Do we have any in Spain? Mm-hmm. Probably. We got little bases everywhere. We're like an infection. you just turn around and it's like crabs.
Yep.
You know. Oh goodness me! Oh. It seems the Americans have put another base down. Itchy things, aren't they? Yes, quite.
Yes.
Yep. I don't know. This is the story that tickled me the most. And it's got a French phrase in it that I'm going to say wrong because I don't speak frog. But it's the pied-à-terre tax. Basically, what you have is a bunch of rich people that had primary living in New York, bought houses in places like Florida, pretended that their houses in Florida were their primary place, right? Mm-hmm. And filed their taxes accordingly. Now, because their New York properties are sitting empty and are worth more than $5 million, they have to pay a new tax on that. And so they're calling up their tax advisors and their accountants, and they're like, how do I get out of this? And they're like, you can't. And they're like, but my primary residence is in New York. And they're like, well, you filed that it's not. So you're either on the hook for the taxes or for lying on your taxes. One way or the other, you're going to pay.
Yep. You're paying this pied à terre.
Yep.
That's all there is to it.
Pied à terre.
Pied à terre. Yep.
All right. But yeah, I think it's fucking hilarious that rich people are getting hoisted on their own petards because rich people are the only people that can afford fucking petards anymore. When was the last time you owned a petard, sir?
It's been a long time.
I have no petards.
There's no petard for me. But no, this... Yeah, they have houses in the Hamptons. They have houses all over the East Coast that they go and live in and stay there. And then they've got their New York City, you know, apartment. They're really nice apartments, and they stay there once a year, twice a year.
Yep.
No, fucking tax them. Well done, Mondami, for taxing these. He saw this. He's like, I got a revenue stream. This is a great one. Let's make the rich pay for their fucking apartments for once.
Or admit they're lying.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or catch them lying. Yeah. I mean, if you're wealthy and you literally live in New York City and that is your primary residence, you actually don't pay as much in taxes as if it's empty most of the year. So it's like, come back to New York. Come back and live. We don't want to. Well, you pay, buddy.
Yep. I don't actually live in Florida. Well, then you pay, buddy.
You pay.
Good stuff. Absolutely good stuff. Target. there's a pharmacy in the Target down here. Mm-hmm. It's the only CVS in town. So I have to walk in those fucking doors twice a month, give or take.
Yep.
And it makes me feel dirty. And it makes me feel dirty because they rolled back all their DEI stuff to make the fucking orange clown happy.
Yeah.
Right? So they spend a year on a weird rebrand that still hasn't worked. Their sales are down for, I think, the third year in a row since, you know, the second year in a row since Trump came back.
Mm-hmm.
And then they do this. It's a Halloween costume, which seems, you know, pretty innocuous of itself, but it's a minstrel. It's the fucking Al Jolson bullshit.
Yeah,
it's
really
racist as fuck. I mean, you don't need to be evolved. There are people out there that are racist that think this is a great fucking costume because it's so racist. There is nothing about it that is not racist as fuck. And Target is all, oh, oopsie daisy.
But it's a clown bodysuit. What kind of clown is it? Right? You put a black nylon stocking on and then highlight the smile with big red lips.
And the big silly and the little itty bitty hat.
Little itty bitty hat. What kind of clown is that?
And the black gloves.
I mean, we can't be that surprised, though. Like, when Trump posts video of Michelle Obama and Barack Obama as gorillas, that's, I mean, they're just reading his book.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Just taking it right from him.
So they took it off the website. Good. That's a start.
You think so?
And tried to apologize for the costume, saying that it should never have been part of our assortment, end quote. As a company, we got this wrong, and we're deeply sorry. We know this is especially hurtful for our black guests, team members, and partners, Target wrote in a post on social media. Removing the costume is an important first step, and we're looking closely at how this happened and what needs to change to ensure this wouldn't happen again. I don't know. Maybe hire back all those people of color you fired when you rolled back your DEI initiatives. Maybe, just maybe, get back some of those black-owned businesses that you were partnered with before being afraid of the orange, you know, I'm going to go with clown again. You know, it is not hard to not be racist. It's not. Mm-hmm. I do it all day long. And I'm lazy. I don't have to work at it. That's why I'm so good at not being racist. It's not hard. Fuck. Hey, babe. You been racist today?
No, actually, I haven't.
John, how about you, sir? You been racist today?
Not that I'm aware of.
See? There we go. There's three of us right now that we're just completely not racist today because it's real simple.
It's not that hard. Not that hard at all.
I mean, what's important is the historical context of it all. And that's blackface and minstrel characters were, you know, popular 100 years ago. It was a racist art form. As deep and melodical as Al Jolson's voice was, his work was racist as fuck.
Yeah.
It was, oh, we hate black people so much, we're going to steal their culture, use it as a costume, and perform for money. Al Jolson did what Elvis Presley did, you know, it was just to steal and denigrate and demean people of color. and to make money doing it. And that's all Target's doing here.
Is, all I'd say is at least Elvis didn't put black face paint on his face.
That's it. You know, he would have if they'd asked.
Yep. Might have.
I don't know. Maybe not.
No.
No, he was, I mean, he was sort of a pedophile.
Mm-hmm.
So, is blackface too far for a pedophile? He liked him young, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And those kind of people really don't have a soul. It is. What else have we got? Oh, good news on the mental health front. Mm-hmm. America's first legal psilocybin program happened. It treated about 350 people, right? And this was for mental health conditions like PTSD, anxiety, and depression. And finding a way forward when you feel those things can feel impossible, especially when conventional treatments just don't work. So psilocybin, which is what we get from magic shrooms, spent decades being demonized as an illicit drug. Why?
Yes.
Because the hippie kids liked it when they were, you know, protesting against the war. And they did it in a park where these things grow pretty fucking naturally.
Yeah.
Yep. Three cheers for Golden Gate. But now the results from the first state regulated psilocybin program in the United States suggest that the drug could offer a glimmer of hope beyond the confines of a clinical trial. So between November 2024 and June 2026, a team led by the Oregon Health and Science University tracked 346 clients participating in the program and found that in the first 3 months after taking psilocybin, participants reported significant improvements in mental health, well-being, and life satisfaction. Honestly, if I could get my hands on some shrooms, my life satisfaction would go up as well.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't live in Oregon, and I can't afford the black market. That's really what it comes down to.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, what a great... I mean, I've advocated for both psilocybin and you know, lysergic acid dithiolate and you have to figure that one out on your own. And, you know, MDMA. What was the quote? There was a quote online for a few years that was basically like, I ran into a former libertarian and I asked him why he stopped being a libertarian. And he said he tried MDMA and realized that other people have feelings.
That sounds about accurate, though. That sounds very accurate.
Yeah. Yep. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I already knew that other people had feelings. Mm-hmm. Much again. Like I know that racism is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And all day long, I'm aware of other people having feelings. Now, I am not as good with feelings as I am with not being racist. Because feelings,
hey, I'm really good at recognizing other people have feelings, just because I don't want to acknowledge mine.
Well, that's fair, and it is. And sometimes it's feelings are a nebulous thing, you know. Some days you can get away with saying something that won't hurt someone's feelings, and then on the next day, maybe it will. You know, feelings are tricky. That's why you got to be careful around them. It's not as easy as not being racist. I'm aware that people have feelings. I am. I'm not so good with being delicate with them because I'm not very good at delicate.
Right.
Yeah, I'm more of a... I'm the Kool-Aid man. Feeling. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Boom.
That's what I... Boom, I'm in the room. Let's talk about feelings. But not in a racist way, because we don't even have to talk about not being racist to not be racist.
It's just not difficult at all. I don't know why it's so difficult for some people.
All right, gang, that is the week's show. How about that? We are going to move over to Patreon now and continue the discussion at patreon.com/defenmedia. patreon.com/defenmedia, where every week that we record, we pop over there and drop some special content for our Patreon family. It is insanely stupidly priced. I really need to get in and fix that. But I got other shit to do. So, I mean, most of my day is taken up, as you know, with not being racist. So yeah, I don't have a lot of spare time. But yeah, we do. We do special content over there. It's a lot of fun. And you're not just getting Left Show stuff. You're getting the World's Greatest Comic Book Podcast stuff. You're getting I Told You So stuff. You're getting Gen Zek stuff. You're getting special drops that I do. Best of episodes from way back when. You know, when I remember to do shit like that. Because, like I said, I'm preoccupied.
Preoccupied not being racist.
Not being racist. That's me. But
stupidly priced, he doesn't mean stupidly expensive. He means stupidly cheap.
Way too
cheap for him to have it that cheap. Yeah.
Yeah, I got to fix that one of these days. But everybody seems happy there. I just need more people to be happy there so that I don't think about it. You know?
If more people were there to be happy, then the cheap price wouldn't matter as much.
Exactly. Oh, that's very well put. I like the way you did that in a non-racist manner.
It's not difficult.
I know. It's so easy.
It's so easy.
I just sat there not so doing easy. It. I just, yeah. Here I am. Look, I'm doing it to the door. I can't stop.
I avoided not only racism, but sexism and homophobia all in one sentence. It was fantastic.
You talented motherfucker. All right, gang. JC, thank you. Tiffany, thank
you. You're welcome, America.
We're going to smash the patriarchy some more.
Smash the patriarchy.
We will see. Well, everybody but JC will see everybody next week.
If you've made it this far, you might as well join us on Patreon. Patreon.com/DFenMedia. This episode and more always available at www.theleftshow.com.